Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. It's a joy to be with you today and to be here at this camp meeting. This is my first time to be here. I appreciate the messages that we've heard this week. Each and every one of them has been a blessing to my heart. I've learned some things. I hope and pray God will give me the brains to keep learning some things and the right attitude and right spirit. It's been a blessing. Every song that has been sung and every message that has been preached has been a blessing to my heart. I know that sometimes we get up and we preach and we think we've done a good job, and sometimes we get up and preach and we think we haven't done a good job. We're concerned about that, all of us are, because we want to do our best for the Lord. And regardless of how well we do or how well we don't do, God gets the glory for it all. But sometimes we're like that red-headed peckerwood that struck the top of that pine tree, that huge pine tree, and just as he struck it with his beak, a bolt of lightning hit it and split it right down the middle. And he flew off and a little while brought back 10 of his buddies and says, "Right there is where I did it." Love the brotherhood. I want to preach about him. The title of my message is him. If it wasn't for him, there would be no brotherhood. And so we want to talk about him. And if you have your Bibles, I have three verses of scripture I want to read for my text. The first one is found in Psalms chapter 27, verse 8. "And when thou sayest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." And then over in Mark chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, we find these words, "And he said unto them, be not afraid, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he is gone before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto them." And then over in Colossians chapter 1, I want to read verse 18 and 19. "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Well, there's some things I want us to look at this morning concerning him. First of all, I want to go and read some scriptures because I have three verses of scripture for my points this morning. And the first verse of scripture is found in St. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. And this is what it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because thou hast taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seeketh thou? And she supposed him to be the gardener, and said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, Master. In that verse of scripture, there are seven hymns. Now, this woman's all wrapped up in him. She's looking for him. She's trying to find him. She's weeping for him. She wants him. It's all about him. And she wants to find him. And so the angel says unto her, why are you weeping? She says, I'm looking for him. I'm weeping over him. I want to find him. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have a brotherhood. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have our sins washed away. If it wasn't for him, we'd been on our way to hell. If it wasn't for him, we'd have no life. It's all about him. It's all about him. And she was all wrapped up in him. She wanted him. And Jesus said unto her, why weepest thou, woman? Whom seekest thou? And she is saying, I'm weeping over you. I'm seeking you. I want you. So it's all about him. She's seeking him. She said, I want to see him. I want to know where you laid him. If you have borne him here, tell me where you've laid him. I'll go get him. I'll take him. It's all about him. Well, another point I want you to look at. That's over in St. John chapter 1 and beginning at verse 35. And again, the next day, after John stood the two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Well, they saw him. John the Baptist says, That's him. That's him right there. That's the Lamb of God. And they followed him. And Jesus turned about and said, What seek ye? Now that's a good question. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? What are we seeking? Many people are seeking many things, but not very many people are seeking him. And they wanted to be with him. And when he asked them what they were seeking, this was their answer. Where dwellest thou? You know what they're saying? I'm looking for him, and I just want to dwell with him. Amen. I want to spend a little time with him. Amen. I want to be with him. I want to be with him. It's important for me to be with him. I want to know where he dwells. I want to understand him. As Paul said, that I may know him. Amen. Well, it's all about him. All about him. Now listen to this. The Bible says there's a way to get to him. There's a way that you can know him. There's a way that you can dwell with him. And basically, I'm speaking to those who really already know him. But do you know him? You say, well, I know him as my Lord and Savior. I know that he is the one that took away my sins. I know him as my personal Lord. But do you really know him? That's what Paul is saying here in this verse of Scripture. And if we turn over to it, we find in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, And what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I might win Christ. I mean, I tell you what, when you're in love with somebody, you want to win their heart. You want to win them. Every young girl and every young man falls in love with somebody, they want to win their heart. They'll go to any extreme to win that young man over to them, or to win that young boy or that young girl over to them. They want to win them. They want to win them. And he said, I want to win Christ and be found in him. I want to be found. I want to be found in him. If you're going to be found, there's no better place to be found than to be found in him. And so he said, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. You see, I appreciate that message last night on Job. I'm like these other preachers. I saw that in a different light, and I thank you for it. But old Job, he found him. That's what God was saying. He said, Job, you know me. You're righteous. You're a perfect man, but you really haven't found me yet. I want you to find me. And I appreciate that message. And he said, I want to be found in him, and not having my own righteousness, which is by the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. I want to know him. I want to dwell with him. Well, there's some other things I want us to look at. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this is what it says in verse 18. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the power of the Spirit. Even by the power of the Spirit. I like that. I like that. It's even by the power of the Spirit. Now, here's how we get to know Him. You see, we understand that Jesus is the bridegroom and we are the bride, the church. But there's another flip to that where the Bible says that He is the head of His body and that we are members in particular. Flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, we are in Him and He is in us because this is God's house. My body, your body. God's building Him a house, and the material He's using is flesh and bone. He's building Him a house, and the He's building Him a house, and the house that He's building is made out of clay. That was made into flesh and bone. And listen to what the Bible says here. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that he that is joined unto an harlot is one body? For the two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Your spirit and Christ's spirit has become one. My spirit and Christ's spirit has become one, making us one in spirit. Now let's go on and let us look and see what it says. It says free fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against the body. What? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let me interpret that 21st. He said, I bought you with blood. He said, the man that used to own you was a slave over you, the old devil. And he made a slave and had you chained in sin. And God said, I want that body. And He says, I'm going to pay the price of it, which is the blood of my Son. I'm going to purchase it. I'm getting the deed and the title to it. And the chains of sin are going to fall off. And He will no longer be a slave of Satan. But I'm going to move in that body. And I'm going to become one spirit to that individual. And that flesh and that bone that you have belongs to God. You are not your own. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which He owns. His owner. Well, how are you treating God's property? Husband, how are you treating God's property? Wife, how are you treating God's property? Love the brotherhood. Church member, how are you treating God's property? Pastor, how are you treating God's property? Love the brethren. It's when we understand that Jesus Christ lives in us and He's conforming us into His own image. My daddy was a sculptor when he was a young man, and he'd take a little block of marble, some little bitty, I'm trying to find something here. There it is. He'd go out into the marble pile. And he'd look around and he'd find a little block of marble. Oh, it was all dirty, scratched up, and it wasn't pretty at all. And he'd bring it in and he'd put it on the baker and he'd wash it up, clean it up, make it real pretty. Then he'd take his pen out and he'd do a little marking on it. Then he'd get his air hammer and he'd start sculpturing on that thing. And I said, "Dad, what are you making?" He said, "I'm carving a little lamb." And he says the same thing that all sculptors would say. I said, "Dad, how do you do that?" He said, "Well, I see that block of marble, and inside that block of marble, I see a little lamb. And I just chip everything else away but the little lamb." And I want to tell you, one day, I was out there in the trash pile. God came along, and he picked me up, and he washed me off. And the Son of God was born in me, and God set me on the altar of his workshop, brought me to the banker, put me on the altar down here. This is his workplace, and he's working on me, and he sees Jesus in me, but he says the world can't see that. I can see it, but the world can't see it. So he takes his air hammer, and the preacher preaches on Sunday morning, and that's him chiseling away at me. He's carving me into God's image so that I look like him. Therefore, when I look at you, dear brother, I need to see Jesus in you. This body belongs to Jesus. He paid for it. How am I going to treat this body? How am I going to treat this Lord of mine that lives inside this body? Jesus said to Paul, or Saul, on the Damascus Road, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Paul wasn't up in heaven taking stones and throwing at the body of Jesus that was crucified on Calvary. But yet he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Because God takes it personal. You're God's property. God holds me responsible how I treat God's property. Love the brother. Love the brother. I want to say something to you, Pastor. This church, I go to a lot of conferences, but your people have made people feel welcome here. They always tell me, "I'm glad you're here." How many of you have been told that by the church members? Isn't that good? Man, don't they make you feel welcome? They're treating God's property the way God's property ought to be treated. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. You know why they do that? It's because they don't see Phil Worley. They see God's Spirit in me. They're responding to the Lord that lives in me. Love the brotherhood. Problem is, we don't see the Jesus. We see the old rock that hadn't been chipped away yet. We got to be like that sculpture. We got to see more than just a chunk of rock. See, you just know chunk of rock. But I'm to look deeper than that chunk of rock. And Jesus is sculpturing you into his own image. Him. It's all about him. It's all about him. See, it's about him. You see, when we get the message, it's him. 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 Because we are flesh of his flesh. Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, yet